Amen. Certainly, we will have revealed to us many things that we do not presently know or understand when we are unable to reach the glory land. I'm convinced that we'll know a whole lot more than we do know now. A lot of times there are some things that we are confused about. There are some things that baffle us. There are some things that frustrate us. There are some things that discourage us. And we wish that it were possible for us to pull back the curtain and allow us the privilege of being able to understand things that are presently unknown and mysterious to us. But as long as we are in this body of flesh, there'll be things that we don't fully understand because we are looking at things from a limited perspective, whereas God has all knowledge. He is in possession of all the facts. He understands all of the circumstances. He's God from everlasting to everlasting. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever he had made the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, he is God. You can't go back far enough to a point where there was no God. You go into past eternity, into infinity, and God has always been. And you go as far as you can go into the future, and God always will be. You try to plumb the depth of the knowledge and wisdom and understanding of God, his divine omniscience, and you're just not able to comprehend it because we have limited human, finite minds. But one day we're going to know a whole lot more than we know now. Good to be back this evening. Good to see you here this evening. I already know that it's kind of warm in here this evening because fans are being distributed, and you're not just laying those fans on your lap in passive inactivity, but you're actually using them. And I hope that you're being cooled, at least to a meaningful degree, by the fanning activity. We want to look at the passage that Brother David Love read from, Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. We speak of this as relating to the great tower of Babel, or Babel. At this particular point in history, at this particular geographical location, God confounded the language of all the earth, and God scattered humankind upon the face of all the earth. Starting with verse number 1, the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. I want to talk to you this evening using as the specific title of our lesson, Positive Lessons from a Negative Situation. Positive Lessons from a Negative Situation. God reveals some very powerful, potent, penetrating, and pertinent truths in this passage that Brother Love read for us. Of course, it makes sense that the whole earth was of one language and one speech. They were unified in communication, having just one language. That can be to the group's advantage. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them throughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Now, this project that they planned and initiated was an effort to write off and reject God and his authority and his religion. This was a project that was born of self-centeredness. It was a project that was born out of a sense of pride. They were defying and rejecting God. They were determined to do their own thing. They were defying the God of glory. They needed to spread out and repopulate the earth, but they said, this is what we're going to do. We are going to get the best building material that is available. And we are going to build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. Now, they didn't mean that it would reach all the way to heaven, but they did have lofty and audacious ambitions. They wanted to do their own thing. They wanted to make themselves a name. They did not want to be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. This was some kind of project, an ancient structure testifying to the power and to the ambitions and to the pride of man. This was a project that was diametrically opposed to the plan of God. And so God became very concerned. And the Lord came down to investigate, to see what was going on. Verse number 5, the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. It's significant that they wanted to make themselves a name. They wanted to do their own thing religiously. They wanted to achieve religious ends and ambitions through their own works and their own means apart from the power and authority of God. And that was a bad thing. And that was something that was against the will of God. And we have special insight shared with us by the Lord in verse number 6. And this is something that we can apply to the church of our Lord today. We can apply to Bible school teachers. We can apply to elders and preachers and deacons. And we can apply to parents and husbands and wives and parents and children and other kinds of kinfolk. Something that is vital to having a healthy marriage is learned in verse 6. Something that is vital to having a vibrant and productive, fruitful congregation is revealed in verse number 6. To have a healthy family, a healthy church, a healthy business, a healthy school system, a healthy organization of any kind, one of the vital and significant prerequisites for having successful organizations of every kind are found or is found in verse number 6. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. They were one, they were unified, they were together, and they had one language. And he said, this they began to do. And then the Lord himself concluded, in view of their common communication, in view of their unified organization, in view of their being one and having one language, he said, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Now, what I understand him to be saying, and this is the positive lesson from a negative situation, what he's saying is, if you have good communication and unity in your home, there's nothing to restrain you from developing the very best possible marriage and family that it is possible to have. If you have good communication, if you have one language, if you have one speech, if you have a organization or business, there are no limits basically to the potential for growth and development as long as you're unified, as long as you're speaking the same language. No telling how much you can accomplish. You know, in homes today, a lot of times there are failed, futile attempts to communicate with each other. And folks find themselves talking at each other rather than with each other. Folks find themselves talking over the heads of each other. Folks find themselves speaking different languages as they endeavor to communicate with each other. And it sabotages and undermines their spiritual unity. It oftentimes has a destructive and deleterious impact on their love and their togetherness as a family. One of the biggest problems, the biggest overriding problems in marriages, in families, in homes today is a lack of meaningful, effective communication. We need more of it. We need to be singing from the same page. We need to be operating with the same purposes. We need to define and pursue the same goals. We need to share the same values. We need to live by the same principles and the same guidelines as husband and wife and as parents and children. The home should operate like a well-oiled machine. The home should operate like a unified body, everybody on the same page, everybody speaking the same language. All that enhances productivity in the family, that enhances happiness in the family, that enhances unity in the family. When everybody is together, when everybody is one, unified, when everybody is speaking the same language. That same concept operates effectively in the Lord's church. And I'm going to call your attention to two additional passages, and it's getting awful hot up here. We're going to hush. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 10, Paul says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're looking at a positive take from what is emphasized in Genesis chapter 11. Paul said, I beg you, brethren, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. That the husband speaks the same thing that the wife speaks. That the husband and wife speak the same things that the children speak. Because they're unified. That you all speak the same thing. That the deacons speak the same thing that the elders speak. And the elders speak the same thing that the preacher speaks. And the preacher speaks the same thing that the teachers speak. And the teachers speak the same things that the members speak. Because we are all together, we are all unified, we are all communicating with the same language. And that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. When we have this kind of unity, when we have this kind of unified language, there is no limit to what we can do. There's no limit to what we can accomplish as the people of God. God recognized the power of unity and the power of unified communication. And he said, if these folk are not halted in their tracks, if they are allowed to pursue their own selfish and ambitious interests, there's no limit to what they can do. So he said, let us go down and confound their language that they may not understand one another's speech. You see, when you don't understand one another and when you are not communicating effectively with each other, there's no real way for you to relate positively and productively with each other. You limit the degree to which you can cooperate with each other and help each other and strengthen each other and edify each other if you don't speak the same language. If you are not unified in communication, you are seriously handicapped in being all that you can be, in achieving all that you can achieve. We need to put forth every effort to speak the same thing, to speak the same language, to keep the channels of communication open between us. Let's always be unified here at Hart Street, having the same goals, the same purposes, subscribing to the same guidelines, serving the same Lord, worshiping the same God, because we're members of the same body. We have within us the same spirit. We've experienced the same baptism. We share the same hope and aspiration. We study the same book. We follow the same principles. We've been cleansed by the same blood. We share a common love for the Lord and for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We are together. There's nothing that can restrain us as long as we understand each other. We can cooperate with each other. We can work together with each other. We can foster an ongoing spirit of teamwork, recognizing that together everybody achieves more. But when communication breaks down, whether it's in the home, in the business world, in the political world, or in the church of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, whenever communication breaks down and the language of people confound it, it seriously hampers and handicaps their ability for achievement. It seriously compromises our ability to go to heaven and to take as many people to heaven with us as is possible.
If you're here and you're not a Christian, we'd like for you to be one because we want you to be saved as well. We want you to go to heaven. You can go to heaven. You can be saved. All you have to do is accept the substitutionary death of Christ on the cross in our behalf. He died on the cross, not for himself, but for you and for me. He suffered inexpressible agony and anguish and excruciating pain, all for your sins and mine. He died there, shed his precious blood, buried in a borrowed tomb, but arose triumphantly from the grave on the third day, making our salvation possible. Believe that good news. Repent of your sins, confess your faith, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And you'll be experiencing the same baptism that we've experienced. You'll be baptized into the same body that we were baptized into. You will be baptized into Jesus Christ, our Lord, into a special relationship with him. You will be privy to the same new life that all of us have entered into upon our obedience to the gospel of Christ. If you're already a Christian but have fallen by the wayside, why not rededicate your life right now through repentance, confession, and prayer? Will you come as we together stand and as we sing?
God is calling the prodigal, come without delay. Hear, oh, hear him calling, calling now for thee. Though you wandered so far from his presence, come today. Hear his loving voice calling still.